Love the words to that song. We'll try and learn it better for those of you that haven't heard it. This next one, I think we probably all know. It goes back. This is What a Day That Will Be. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you here today, and happy Father's Day to our fathers and grandfathers. God bless you. It's a glorious day and a beautiful morning. We're glad that we are here together in the presence of the Lord. Thank you to the consistory that helped last week with the service as we were over at Freedom's Reformed in Tripp and had a good confirmation service over there. It's always good to be back here, though. Some announcements that I want to go over. The Keys for Kids devotional that we give out to our young, to the young families through the year, the July, August, September issue is here, and they are in the social hall against that west wall. So they're by family name. If you can remember afterwards to go out there and pick yours up, that's for families with children in fifth grade on down are those. I want to call your attention to our change in plans about Vacation Bible School. So we're changing it up this year, going out of the box. So we're calling it our Family Fun Trilogy. Trilogy means because it's going to be three nights instead of five this year. We'll do a lot of the events outside. And we're focusing on Daniel. Dare to be like Daniel will be our focus on those three evenings. This, we're asking for a parent, or both parents are welcome, but a parent or grandparent or other adult to be with the children throughout the evening. So when we start out in here, the parents will be sitting with your kids like that, and then we'll do our opening in here, and then we'll go outside and just have a great time. So we won't have t-shirts this year, that we're just sort of out of time for all that with the changes. And the offering, this isn't in the bulletin, but the offering on those three nights in August will be for the activities department of our care center here in Menno. They're always in need of items for the activities. The other announcements, there's many, many more, so please read them later as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please, this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you again for such a beautiful day. Thank you for the refreshing rains yesterday morning and Thursday. It just brings everything to life again. The beauty of your creation. The birds seem happier. We seem happier. For you are good and great and greatly to be praised. And so, Father, we are here because we love you. We're here to sing your praises, to sit at your feet and hear your word. We think of you, Jesus, as you are seated at the right hand of the Father. As we sang that last chorus, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And we look upon your face, for you are the one who saved us by your grace. What a day that will be. And Lord, we can only imagine that right now. Even though we certainly think of our loved ones who've gone on before and they're experiencing you in all of your glory, and we long for that day too. But as we live on this earth, Lord, we pray that you shine through us ever so brightly by the power of your Spirit and through your word that is living and active. And so we give you our highest praise today. Thank you for filling this place with your glory and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's stand for our opening hymn, God of Our Fathers, number 809 in the hymnal. Oh. Such a beautiful hymn, isn't it? I think of the third verse there, so appropriate. From war's alarms and from deadly pestilence, be thy strong arm our ever sure defense. So you may be seated. Thank you. Our joys and concerns, we'll have those now. Again, happy Father's Day to all our fathers and grandfathers here today. Some other things that I have down, we rejoice with Grant Fleecheck, Grant and Rachel. Now, I had their wedding yesterday. Their parents are Dave Fleecheck, June Nuss, so Frida would be grandma. So they were married yesterday at a beautiful ceremony. Prayers for Marilee's daughter. I meant to get this actually in the bulletin and I didn't, but Marilee Houck's daughter, Glenda, she was diagnosed recently with cervical cancer and started this last week with radiation treatments on that. Also continued prayers for Jimmy Whale, that of course is Johnny's twin brother. He has a brain tumor, glioblastoma. And he starts both chemo and radiation treatments beginning tomorrow. 5 days a week of radiation, I believe, for 6 weeks. 6 weeks of chemo. So a pretty intense treatment that he's going to begin. So we want to lift him up and his family in our prayers. Also, I thought as I saw Kelsey Birch come in, Kelsey Wallach Birch, as we know her, she is our new administrator at the Menno Olivet Care Center. I don't know if all of you know that or not, but she started this last Monday. So God bless you, Kelsey, and welcome. We're excited to have you. Probably some overwhelming days. Remember Psalms 60 or 61. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and that's Jesus. We're all behind you and praying for you. So God bless you. Oh, let me see here. Last thing I had written down was we will celebrate our 27th wedding anniversary on the 26th, this coming Friday. So thank you. Yeah. Anything else that we have? Over there. Okay, how about, oh, Trent.
It's my dad's 33rd birthday on Thursday.
This coming Thursday is Ben Crick's 33rd birthday. Wow, you're young.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. All right, anything else? Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer then. Father, thank you for this day. You are the God of our fathers. In the book of Daniel, we know you are referred to as the Ancient of Days. You have always been, you always will be, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray this morning for the fathers, the grandfathers that are here with us. I lift up the many that aren't with us today for various reasons. Lord, give us strength to lead our homes, to lead our families, to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord as you instruct us to do. Give us courage to stand for you in our world in which we live. And as we pray for that, we do pray for our nation. Certainly, Lord, we need your help in a desperate way. We look to you, Jesus. You are the hope of the nations. We proclaim you, Jesus, as Lord of heaven and earth. Thank you for bringing revival to this nation. Thank you for drawing hearts to you, Lord, by your Spirit. Be with our president and vice president, our congressmen and women. Guide them, lead them, Lord, in decisions that have to be made. We stand against the powers of darkness that would try and are trying very hard to tear this nation apart. We pray the blood of Jesus over this nation. Let the church arise and be strong in the midst of this time as we proclaim your word. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you again for the beautiful rains this last week. Lord, we want to lift up Glenda Walker, Marilee's daughter. She has begun radiation treatments. We want to lift up Jimmy Whale as he starts treatments tomorrow. Father, we thank you for these. As your spirit lives within them, let your healing power flow through them in a mighty, mighty way. Jesus, above all, we look to you as our great physician, our healer. We thank you for all that medical science does as you've gifted them with great wisdom. So let the natural and the supernatural power work together and bring healing to these individuals, we pray. Father, as we're still in the midst of the pandemic, we pray for our healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, those that work in the emergency room, those that serve our care centers. Be with them. They're out there on the front lines every day, day in and day out, masked up and gowned up and everything else that we don't see if we're not involved with it. Give them strength and blessing during this time, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for our troops that serve so faithfully as well here at home and abroad. Keep them safe, Lord. Evan Winterstein serving overseas right now. Some getting ready to go to Africa, I've heard, in September. Some with National Guards. We pray over them all. Guard and keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. And it says, welcome him. Paul is saying, welcome him. The him is a man named Epaphroditus, who, if we'd read on in Scripture, was a very godly man, served the Lord wholeheartedly. So Paul is saying to the Philippian church, welcome him, Epaphroditus, in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give to me. So we don't know all the details about Epaphroditus, but we know he was quite a godly man. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer, so if you want to stand, of course we continue with the offering box there at the back of the sanctuary when you come or go. God bless you for your giving. We'll sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. thank you, Father. We do worship you in our singing. We worship you with our giving, through our tithes, through our offerings. We're not just dropping money in a box or in a plate. Lord, we give by faith, sowing into your kingdom, into the best ground there is to produce a harvest for the kingdom of God. Souls being saved, lives being changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we give to you with joy, Lord Jesus. Thank you for blessing and multiplying these gifts many times over in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Anna's going to have the Kingdom Kids time now.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Girls. Oh, there we are. How's everyone today?
Good.
So what is today? Father's Day. That's right. It's Father's Day. It's a special day. There was a boy that was asked, "So what's Father's Day?" And the little boy said, "It's just like Mother's Day, but they don't get as many gifts." That could be right. So Billy Graham said, "One of the greatest gift a boy can give his father is to say, 'When I grow up, I want to be just like my dad.'" And another quote I found, "The older I get, the smarter my dad seems to be." The younger ones probably don't really get that one, but the older ones do. So think about your father. What are some things you love about your father, or some things your father does with you? Give me some ideas, Trent. He takes him dirt biking, so you love it when your dad spends time with you and does some things. Anybody else? Everybody's shy. Well, I got some ideas here. Kids I've asked have said, "I love it to go outdoors with my dad. He teaches me fishing. He's taught me to drive," some older ones, and I know you that are on the farm. You get to do these things when you're younger than the kids that are in the city. Do any of you drive tractor or ride a tractor sometime? Yep, I see a hand going up there. Yep, I see some hands up there. So that usually that's your father that teaches you those things. How about teaching you to read your Bible, to pray? I see some heads shaking. I know our fathers do that. Some people said, my dad spent time with me, and he went on my field trips with me when I was in school. He took me to school. I remember our dad, he loved the outdoors, and so he took us on a lot of places, a lot of hiking things, no camping, just the day trips, a lot of fishing trips. He taught us about gardening and those things. So how about some of you older men and older teenagers? Tell me some things about your father that you remember, how he impacted your life. Very generous with their children, with the kids.
He spent lots of time playing with me. I remember I was all the time like sitting on his shoulders.
Oh, Marina remembers her dad playing with her. He would always put her on his shoulder. I know a lot of that. Anybody else? Carl. He learned the table German prayer when his dad would say grace. Anyone else out there?
He taught me biking.
He taught you to ride your bike? How many dads taught you to ride your bike out there? Yeah, there's some hands up. Well, fathers are so special. They mean so much to us. And you know, sometimes we think, well, my dad wasn't around a lot. You know, my dad was an Army career person. So there were years when he was not there. And I know some of you may say, well, I have more than one dad. I have a stepdad. Or my dad wasn't around when I was growing up at all. But you know what? There's a definition in the dictionary that says a father isn't just the person who helped you to come into this world. He could be the person who influenced you in your life. He could be like a coach, one of your coaches that influenced you. He could be your teacher, your neighbor. He could have been your grandfather that put things into your life. So the word father is very vast. And in fact, the most important thing that we need to remember, all of us, you know, because are our dads perfect? There's some head shaking, no. Were our dads perfect as adults? No. There is no one that's perfect. But there is one that's perfect. And he is our father. And it says in Psalms 68, verse 5, he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. So that just speaks to all of us that maybe didn't grow up with a father or a father that was around. God is our father. I just loved all those songs that we sang about God being our father. He is the one that is with us all the time. Our fathers can't be there all the time, can they? They can't be there every second that we need them, but God is through the Holy Spirit. And that is an awesome thing for all of us to remember, no matter how young we are or how old we are. All right, I do have a couple of jokes that I got off the internet that dads were saying. Okay, I'll do a few of these and then we'll pray. What's the best way to study the Bible? You look into it. One more. What kind of car would Jesus have had driven? A Chrysler. Good job. All right. Those were actually fathers on Christian sites telling these jokes. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you above all that you are our Heavenly Father. Jesus, you are our brother, our Savior. Holy Spirit, you're the one that lives inside of us. And I thank you. We thank you for all of these. We thank you today, too, for the fathers that are here. The fathers that are uncles, grandpas, brothers, all of them that have mentored young boys and girls. We thank you for them. We thank you, God, for our fathers. Bless them today. Help them to know how much we love them. Bless these boys and girls. Help them to love their fathers and grandpas and uncles today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Hopefully, parents, you're remembering to pick up the children's papers when you come in. They're always out in the narthex right now. So we're going to sing number 520 from the hymnal, The Longer I Serve Him. This is a new one for us. It's a Gaither hymn. It's a beautiful one. So you sing along. Since I gave my heart. that one? We need to sing that, you know. We get our eyes, including myself, focused on all that's craziness going on around us. Can sort of get us a little down. But here we sing this. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. It is true, as we walk in fellowship with you, the more we know you, the more love we sense from you, even though it's always there. The longer we serve you in our minds, the more sweeter it does grow. Our walk with you, our fellowship with you, our time in the Word, your Word, our understanding of your Word as we go on in life and study it and our understanding grows. It just becomes more amazing each step of the way. So thank you, Lord, for your Word that you give us. Thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us, that you strengthen us each and every day. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning by your Spirit to those gathered here, to those who will listen later on in the day on the website or the internet or tomorrow or whenever it will be. Your word is anointed, full of power, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read from two places this morning. A lot of summers, it seems, I'm doing a series, which I have been doing on Daniel, but we're taking a break for right now. So I'm going to go back for a Father's Day message. So 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. This is when David was King David. His days were drawing to a close on this earth, and he says that. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. And this is the promise. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. That was God's promise. Now we know from their history, they did not always walk that way, did they? They ended up in bondage, but God brought them back. He was always faithful. And there is a man on the throne, Jesus Christ, forever and ever, from the tribe of Judah. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy, my son, excuse me, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it, there? But so those two pieces of scripture, and let's go into this. We need godly men. Always, always have. We do right now. We always will. So desperately we need them in our nation to stand on God's word, to live as examples. These, in the intro here, there were two passages I read that were words from a father to a son. The first one, of course, David, in his dying days, speaking to his son Solomon. He says, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. That means I'm going to die. So be strong and show yourself a man. What does that mean? We're going to look into that as we go. The New Living Translation, I like it. It says, as David said, so in our language today, take courage and be a man. Be a man. Second, we see Moses, his last words to Joshua. Now, that wasn't a physical, biological father-son relationship, but it was a spiritual father-son relationship, as Moses had taught Joshua. Deuteronomy 31, in some of Moses' last words, he says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Paul's instruction to Timothy, I read that. Listen to it again. Paul, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. We see that actually four times mentioned in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Four times Paul refers to Timothy as my son, my son. And he gives instruction. So he says to him, fight the good fight. It is a good fight. But it is a fight. You know why it's a good fight? Because we win. In the end, we win. Fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. We don't want to be there, do we? Other examples, Paul refers to Titus as his son in the faith. Paul refers to Onesimus as his son in the faith. That's in the book of Philemon. Each of these men about Paul, he had either led them to faith in Jesus Christ or he had a great impact on their lives. One of the two. He had a powerful influence in their lives. And so we need to think about that as we live our lives. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind us? I was blessed as I listened to the service last Sunday and as Philip Heckenleibel started out and had the time of reminiscing there. You know, until you hear that, you maybe don't realize someone that has lived, grown up here in the congregation and lived his adult life elsewhere and come back and how all those things touched him. Sunday school teachers and on and on. The scripture right here as he referred to, which we love. So take courage and be a man. What's God really saying there? If we were living back in our Timberlake days, the phrase in rodeo country is, from fathers to boys, cowboy up, right? If the boy skins his knee or falls down and is crying and the dad picks him up and says, cowboy up, is that being a man? Well, it could be part of it, but I don't know that that's what God is thinking about. Is it how macho a man can act? Is it how alcohol someone can consume? Is that what makes someone a man? No. No, it certainly isn't. David, if we think about David's life as king and shepherd, he was a mighty warrior. They sang about him. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. But you know what David also knew how to do? He knew how to worship the Lord. He played that harp more beautiful than anyone could probably in that day. So beautiful that even when Saul was king and being tormented in his mind, he would call David in just as a servant. Tell him to come in, start playing that harp and start worshiping the Lord. And you know what? The oppression would leave from Saul's mind. It would leave. But you know why? Because Satan and his forces cannot stand it when we are worshiping God. Because Satan, Lucifer, used to be in charge of the worship of God before his throne, before he was kicked out of heaven and became the devil. So of course he hates it. So David, yes, a mighty warrior, but yet a man who could worship God unashamedly, dancing before the Ark of the Covenant even one time with just his loincloth on, which would compare to our underwear, to put it bluntly. And that's a whole nother deal. His wife didn't quite like that, did she? If you remember that account. Okay, so what is it? Let's get into this here. Number one, What does it mean to take courage and be a man? Number one, it means to observe and obey God's word. So simple, isn't it? So simple, to observe and obey God's word. That's what David was saying to Solomon when he said, so Solomon, I'm about to die. This is what I'm leaving you with. You're going to be the next king. Be strong. Show yourself a man. How? Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways. Keep his decrees and commands, his laws, his requirements, as written in the law of Moses. Why? So that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. See, in God's economy, in God's system, success is always contingent on our obedience to his word. I'm not saying we won't have trials. We will. We all know we do. In man's economy, how does the economy of the world that we live in, they rate success on power, prestige, wealth, influence, all natural things like that. And God's economy is different. It is so different. Did Solomon follow David's advice? Not so much. Not so much. He really got himself in trouble. We know if we go to 1 Kings 11, it says there, as Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. We'd read in Scripture, he married many, many foreign wives. And eventually, as his years went on as king over Israel, he would even build temples for those false gods, for his wives to worship in. How sad is that? It was very sad. And Israel departed from God and his word, his ways. It says about Solomon, his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. It wasn't. See, I said, we're leaving a legacy. What are we leaving in our family, for our families? In our community, as we serve? We have several that serve on our care center board in this congregation. God bless you. We have some that serve on our school board from this congregation. God bless you. We got to do that. It's so important. Even up into higher levels of government as God would lead. It's very important that we have godly people, men and women, serving in these positions. Solomon did not follow his advice. How about Joshua with Moses? He did. Joshua followed Moses' advice. First, in Deuteronomy 31, we see Moses giving Joshua the final words. When we come over to Joshua chapter 1, which is the next book, we see God the Father giving Joshua similar words, right? What does God say? Joshua, when they're getting ready to go in and conquer, to take the promised land, Joshua, you got to be strong. You got to be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. That means learn it, know it, so that you may be careful to do according to everything written in it. And so we see, wow, between those two men, Moses, Joshua, Moses leading an estimated 2 million people out of Egypt as slaves across the Red Sea supernaturally, yet into the desert. Challenges immediately. Times Moses wanted to give up, yes. Times Moses said to God, I am done with this people, Lord. They are your people. I cannot deal with them anymore. And God would speak to him, get him turned back around, right? We all need that, whether it's with our workplace or what, when we get so frustrated. We have those times. God is patient with us. So they come. Moses couldn't go into the promised land. So Joshua is commissioned to lead them in. Again, a miracle coming across the Jordan River. with that same amount of people. It was at flood stage. And just as God dried up the Red Sea for them to go across, so he dried up the Jordan River supernaturally for them to go across. And those people living in the promised land, they saw all this happening and they were scared. Joshua was too. I mean, he had some certainly fear in his heart. We don't even hardly have weapons. How are we going to take this promised land? And God told them, didn't he? With Jericho, they didn't have to use a weapon. They just marched around the city for 7 days as God instructed them. And the walls came crashing down. Joshua did follow. I was thinking, as I think about this, and I've shared before with the Promise Keepers movement, and many of you men went to those events 20 years ago-ish, I suppose. I've shared, and I want to share again because I looked up this morning real quick. I thought, when was that time when we went to Washington, D.C. with Promise Keepers? We were living with the Navajos at that time. I always, in my mind, thought it was that early summer of 1998, and then in the fall of 98, we moved up to Timber Lake, but it was actually 1997. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. October 4th, 1997. There was an estimated 1.3 million men, Christian men, that gathered at Washington, D.C. to pray for our nation. There were six of us, Nathan and I, and then four Navajo men that went out there. At that time, the Promise Keepers organization, they were really pouring big into the lives of Native American men. And they actually paid for our plane tickets out there. And we stayed with my aunt and uncle who lived nearby so we could do it very inexpensively, which it had to be that way. Otherwise, we couldn't have gone. But that was in 1997. And it went from the Capitol building, if you've been there, all the way back to the Washington Monument. Solid, a solid sea of men gathered. It was incredible. As we were there praying at one point, just down on our knees, praying for our families, praying for our nation. Truly incredible. And I've said this before, but the one I will never forget when we stood and sang, "How Great Thou Art." 1.3 million men singing that. Gives me goosebumps today just thinking about it. It was incredible. One time we thought, oh, let's get up closer to the very, there were speakers throughout the day. Let's try and get up closer to the very front of that stage. It took us 2 hours to walk. I don't know what that would be, you know, it's certainly not a mile, but squeezing through 1.3 million men to get there. We're like, oh, now we got to get back to where we were. What's God saying to us? Observe and obey the word of God. Can we do it perfectly? Of course not. But we endeavor to. Secondly, what's he saying? Cling tightly to your faith in Christ. Cling tightly. Paul's words to Timothy, and that phrase, cling tightly, comes out of the New Living of that chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, so cling tightly to your faith, Timothy, and always keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. What's your conscience? In one degree, I believe it relates to our spirit being, who you are, who you really are, and with the Holy Spirit living within. Remember, we're a three-part being, right? I am a spirit being. We're made in the image of God. I have a soul. That's my mind, my will, my emotions. I live in a body. That I could give you verses on that. We are that three-part being. And when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our human spirit. You see that many times as you read in the New Testament. You have to look. If it's a capital S, it's the Holy Spirit, right? If it's a small s, it's talking either about our human spirit or an evil spirit, depending on the context. So what? He says, Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their conscience. How do we do that? Well, one way is when we know this is wrong, a situation, and we go ahead with it anyway. Now, if we do that long enough and often enough, we're going to see what happens here in another verse. But some have violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Amplified Bible says right there, it says, as a result, some people have rejected their moral compass. I like that phrase. Their moral compass. What's that again? That's here in our heart, the Holy Spirit. This is our moral compass right here. God's word, number one, right? In the natural, if you're going without GPS as it used to be or anything like that, if you're out hiking in the mountains or the woods and you have a compass with you, you always want to know where true north is, don't you? If you got true north, you can figure out then where you need to go. This is the moral compass for our lives. The trouble is, today, so many people have thrown out the moral compass. We don't need it. It's not truth. It doesn't matter. It's an ancient book. No, this is it. This is truth, and we know it is. So cling tightly, he said. Going over to 2 Timothy, this I want to tell you real quick. They're teaching, these guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who had left this, their teaching will spread like gangrene. We all know what that is, right? Eats away at your toes or fingers or body parts, spreads poison. Among them, he lists this again, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. They say that was a false teaching. They say the resurrection has already happened. Okay, this was, Timothy was writing this about 30 years after Jesus Christ rose from the dead the first time. So when these guys were saying, I hate to tell you, the resurrection has already happened and you missed it, what are they talking about? They're talking about the second coming of Christ. They're talking about the rapture of the church, which we're still waiting for today. It's already happened. Sorry, hate to tell you. You've been left behind. Think how disheartening that would have been for those people. They were buying that lie because they thought that Jesus was going to really come back in their lifetime then. So that's how they got deceived. Cling tightly to your faith in Christ. As I was thinking too about this, and because I've just had recent visits with all three of these, I'm not going to mention names except for one. But one young man, he's probably in his 30s. All three of these individuals live up in the Twin City areas, by the way. So this one young man, he's not from our community here, but his grandparents are members of this church. And he is a pharmacist, doctor of pharmacy up there in the Twin Cities. And I've known him limitedly, but really not known him until we got into this pandemic. And he's started emailing me because he's been watching our services online as they haven't been able to go to their services. And have I been blessed? Blessed as I've learned of his strong faith in Christ and his questions that he'll email periodically. It's been maybe three times, and the answers he gives and his stand on the Word of God. And I think to myself, praise the Lord for that generation. They're living all around and they're standing and living for Christ. Then I think of Taylor, a young lady from our church, Taylor Anderson, probably 24, up there in the cities working on the campus of the University of Minnesota, giving her life. Last year, she's going to do another year preaching, sharing the gospel to all who will listen on that campus. Do our college campuses need to know the message of the gospel? Yes, absolutely. And she's doing it. She's going to be here probably August 16th to share with us. Remember last summer we took an offering for her. We're going to do it, just FYI. Keep that in your minds. She has to have support to do this. Third one, young man from Scotland, Michael Kreneisel. Maybe a lot of you know his parents, Dennis and Linda. So how did I get connected with that young man? It was when he was in high school and he had a brain tumor. I don't know if all you remember that. It was back on the brain stem. And they were, I think they were in transition without a pastor at the time. And so I began to minister to him. And his heart was so open already at that point to the Lord. And I remember the one night, of course, Linda, she comes periodically. She can play the piano beautifully, too. She's the one who's taught Caden Fisher to play. She has a grand piano in her house. I went over there that one evening, and things were getting more serious. And I said, let's just have a time of worship. You know, for me, going into prayer, I love to have a time of worship first. And let's do that. And I had my anointing oil along as well. And we prayed over him. And through prayer and through what medical science did, again working together, God healed that young man. He just was through here yesterday morning on his way home for Father's Day. And again, he'll text or email periodically. And he's living it. He's strong in his faith. He maybe wouldn't want me sharing all this, but I'm not trying to brag up these kids, but it just blesses my heart to see these young ones taking it and living it and doing it. And it's not just people that have moved away. I think of all of our young families in this church. We're blessed incredibly with you, a lot who aren't here this morning, but a lot who are. And you're living it where God has planted you here in this community. And that's how it has to be. And it's beautiful to watch. So God bless you each. Third, this one just to wrap it up. Paul said to Timothy in that same verse, chapter 1:19, he said, always keep your conscience clear. Always keep your conscience clear. Because in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, Paul's saying this, the Spirit, this is verse 1 of chapter 4, the Holy Spirit clearly says that in the later times, it's where we're living, some will abandon their faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared like with a hot iron. What if something is seared, it's no longer sensitive to anything. If somebody, you know, let's talk our own feet. Kids, they'll run around in their bare feet all day long. Outside, the kids at Haiti, they rarely wear shoes except when they're in school, they have to wear shoes. The rest of their days in home, no shoes. They're running over rocky roads and everything you could imagine, like nothing. Those feet, we call it calloused, right? We could say seared. I mean, we know as we get older, I can't even hardly walk outside on the driveway in my bare feet. If a little pebble is there, go! Or going out trying to put the corn cob on the bird feeder where there's the rock landscape, the bird feeder, the squirrel feeder, trying to get the corn cob on there. On rare occasion, I've thought, oh, I don't want to put my shoes on. I'll just go out in my bare feet. I'm like, I should not have done this, right? But when it gets calloused or seared, it is not sensitive to that. You could run and walk on gravel and through stickers and whatever. But we do not want our hearts, our consciences, to be that way to the things of God ever. So how do we keep it from happening? Yes, we sin. None of us are perfect. King David, a man after God's own heart, was not perfect. He sinned big. But you know what? He was quick to repent. He was quick to come to God. Forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51 is his psalm of repentance. We ask for forgiveness. Don't ever just, we all have struggles, whatever they might be. Don't ever get to the place, oh, forget it. I cannot do it. I can't conquer that temptation. I just keep falling. Forget it. I'm not even going to ask you, Lord, to forgive me again, because I've done it 100 times already. You know what? God will forgive you 101, and he'll forgive you 1,001 times. As I said, the man that's doing the ministry on the Monday night, this DVD we're watching, which is very good, by the way, he says, no matter how many steps you take away from Christ, it is always just one step back. One step back. Praise the Lord. So, take courage and be a man. And be a woman of God, too. Don't mean to make this just for the man. Okay, I want to read just, I thought, a neat Father's Day card for my dad, and I want to just read you part of the phrasing of it. This is to you fathers and grandfathers. It says, thank you for being a faithful father. When you're a child, it's hard to understand all the things that make up a father's heart. Devotion to his family, dedication to doing what's best for them, care that's committed to hard work and leadership, and love that goes deeper than anyone can know. With each passing year, it becomes easier to see and understand what an honorable role model, you have been, to realize the depth of all that you are and all that you give. Happy Father's Day. So to all you men, happy Father's Day. You fit that just as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know we cannot stand apart from you, but in you we can do all things because you are the one who strengthens us. You say, you tell us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. And so help us to do that as we are refreshed in your presence once again today. Thank you on this Father's Day for blessing the men of this congregation in our community and beyond, men of faith. Help us to be promise keepers as you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know what, that is, that just reminded me. We'll go to our closing hymn here, but as I looked on that website, because we don't hear a lot about Promise Keepers anymore today, and here there was a whole deal as they're trying to revive that, and it said starting in 2020, which I imagine this has changed due to the pandemic, they said their goal is we're going to try to hold one major event a year in an NFL stadium around the nation. One a year. Guess where they're starting out? Not in Green Bay. Not in Minneapolis. Got a guess, AJ? Dallas. Yeah. I thought, that's okay. So, I don't know, as I said, you know, all of that is so changed, but it said July 31st. I thought, interesting, we'll have to keep our eye on that. So, didn't mean to get into all that, but let's stand, sing our closing hymn, stand up for Jesus. It wasn't in Buffalo either. Victory unto victory. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we will sing again, God Bless America, as a prayer for our nation. Seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music, and have a wonderful Father's Day. Just because we're standing back here greeting you, you do not have to shake our hands or anything. I just love to see you and greet you. So the choice is yours on that.